Welcome back to Module 2 in this Microsoft Virtual Academy course. In Module 2 now, we'll start to have a look at the enhancements that are made within the Active Directory Administrative Center, or ADAC. This will give us a view of the functionality and the rich interface experience that we're trying to bring to administrators who need to look after, on a day-to-day perspective, Active Directory. We'll do a quick module overview, and then we'll step across to our lab environment and spend a bit of time looking at how we would administer Active Directory using ADAC. So we'll move across back to the slides and get a view of what this module is going to cover. So yes, we'll look at the rich interface around ADAC, and then we're going to focus on two pieces. One is the Active Directory recycle bin, and the second one being the fine-grained password policy. Within the Active Directory recycle bin, we'll understand how rich this feature has become from a GUI perspective to give you a view for users to manage and restore deleted objects. Users can now visually locate and find all the deleted objects that might have been moved, whether it be from on purpose, erroneously, etc., but then allow you to give a functionality to restore those back to an original or possibly a desired new location. The process of enabling this recycle bin is irreversible, and that is a key note to understand, that once this has been turned on, you will not be able to move that back. If we then look at the actual fine-grained password policy functionality available within the new features in ADAC, this allows you to start to simplify multiple password policies and that you might need to have out into your environment. Whether you want to apply different restrictions from a stricter perspective on possibly service accounts, or a less restrictive process on certain types of users or services that might be out into your environment. Either way, you will have the ability to apply special password policies to different reasons for different locations and different purposes as you see fit. With that in mind, let's move across the demo environment now and get a look and feel and see exactly what these two components can enable for us in ADAC itself. So we're back on our DC box we worked on with Module 1's perspective, back into Server Manager, getting a view of the actual components that we're managing. We see all three domain controllers now that we've moved them and promoted them up. They all sit within our Active Directory look and feel. We're going to be focusing now on the tool section up above here at the top, and we'll start to drill down into ADAC itself and have a look and feel around the two components that we're focusing on for this module. So if we open up ADAC, we'll see that we have a different look and feel around the administration side from a day-to-day perspective. And the key takeaway for this interface is the rich ability that you have to either, through the GUI, manually do the repetitive tasks as quickly as possible. And if you think of normal administration, how often do you, other IT pros, other administrators, or possibly help desk users, have to often reset passwords? So we're trying to make this as simple as possible to get access directly from a search perspective, reset, either force a change to the next logon, or unlock that account if required. The same from a search perspective, give you a view directly into Active Directory from the click of a button to search, find an object, and then manipulate, make changes, or reconfigure as you see fit. On the top left-hand side, we have a slight change around the options from a GUI perspective. By default, you have the new look and feel from a branching out perspective to give you a view of exactly what is out in your environment from a search perspective. If you prefer the traditional look and feel, you can move back to the tree repository look and actually start to work with the old way that you might have worked from a domain perspective, from a management perspective. We'll kind of move back to the new perspective and have a look and see exactly what we would be working with from an administration look and feel. So let's look at a couple of tasks first. Firstly, the normal ones that we would do from a user creation perspective, user change perspective. We'll work within a particular OU here called Manage Objects. And within this component, we start to have the ability to build out new look and feel directly inside of that managed objects organizational unit in this case. And we'll just drop down to the simple things such as creating a new user. And the couple of components we will step through now, we will carry on to use as we move through the different modules for the rest of this course. So if we just look at simple configuration, let's just do simple user. We'll do a simple configuration around where she actually works at this moment or which department she works in. So she's in the sales department in Africa as an example. Now we can start to work with this around the look and feel, the configuration at quite a few different component levels all within a single screen. No longer need to move through all different types of tabs or processes that were available. If there's too much to see and look and feel, you can filter and make the changes based on what you actually want to use from an administration perspective. So we've got a simple user that's been created from a user perspective. We've dumped in a simple Sales Africa department. But because we've selected Manage Objects as the OU, that user will then be created directly within this location itself. It's currently it's configured over here, sitting available for us to use and work with as we see fit. F5, just refresh. Yes, it's sitting over there. Now we'll look at manipulating the actual recycle bin itself and giving us a view of what we can actually do with this at the actual domain level. Moving back to this particular domain that we're working in, the Contoso domain, on the right-hand side you have this option of enable recycle bin. Before we select that, you will notice that in the center over here, in this particular Contoso domain, we do not have a component called deleted objects. There's no container called that, and that is what will be created once we refresh the console after enabling the recycle bin. Keep in mind again, this is a one-time process. There is no moving back. We get a confirmation, are you sure you want to enable this? And a reaffirmation that once again, once it's enabled, it cannot be disabled. Do a quick F5 refresh, and you will see that we now have the actual deleted objects container available for us to use and work with. What we'll do now is we'll move back over here. We'll move into Manage Objects. We'll create ourselves a new organizational unit, and we'll just call that Sales. Sales, rather. From this purpose, we'll remove that out so we can actually delete that component. We have a Sales component. Move Jessica. We'll drop her into the Sales component. So now she sits inside of that as a user within that particular organizational unit. Moving up again, select Sales. We'll say Delete. Quick question around, are you sure you want to delete this? We'll say yes to that. So are you sure, again, from a deletion perspective, that it'll remove this particular container and everything that is inside of that? Yes, we're happy to do that. F5, that component is gone, no longer available for us to use. We'll now move back into this deleted objects container and have a view of the two objects that are sitting over here. Currently the Jessica one plus the Sales one, which we deleted a little bit earlier. If I click on Jessica itself and I on the right-hand side say locate parent, open that computer up, it'll take us back directly into the Sales OU that she originally was stored in as a container. Now this is a very simple example, obviously one user, one container. Take into account your environment that you might be supporting, having multiple users, multiple containers, and from a day-to-day perspective how that could become quite tricky to work with. So now what we do, we don't want to take the Sales component, we just care about the Jessica one. She shouldn't have been deleted, the Sales one should have been deleted. We can select on Jessica, and we have the option of saying Restore To. Then we have a drill down option of where do you actually want to store this component. We'll stick it in the normal User section, that is gone, draw back up, go into Users, and we see that Jessica is sitting over here as available and to work with in this particular component. So a simple look and feel of how that recycle bin can be used. Now if we look at the global administration that possibly you might be looking after, you might be one of a team of administrators, you might be part of an administration feel, look and feel around vendors who support multiple customers, multiple users, multiple containers that might be deleted. All of a sudden this functionality makes it a little bit easier to recover any objects that might have been deleted within Active Directory, and from a restore perspective you can select where or how you'd like this component to be restored. So that was a look at the first section around how do we actually work with the recycle bin. Now we'll start to look at how do we actually work from a password perspective, how we can start to have options around fine-grained passwords that might be available to us. So sticking back into this now, into ADAC, we'll move back into the overview section, and we'll start to leverage this global search option on the right-hand side. If we type into this the actual default administrator account, do a search, there we have it available for us, there is the administrator, and on the right-hand side, the ability to say, view the resultant password settings that are applied to this particular account. In this case, there's none that have been applied. And we'll work the process now of creating and applying back onto this particular user because he is part of an existing security group, and we'll apply that policy to the group to to then have it filtered down to this particular administrator user. So we'll drill into Contoso. And we'll slowly work our way down to the actual password settings component over here. It sits at the bottom. We'll open that up. We're sitting inside the container. We'll say new, and we can create a new password settings process. Quite a bit of configuration that you can do around here on the look and feel and complexity of this password policy that you'd want to apply. Now, ideally, you would have sat through a bit of a design process and worked these components out of the actual owners of who this is going to apply to understand the requirements and settings. So we'll give this a simple little domain user password requirements. And we can compare this one to the second one that we'll create and how we will apply this and who we will apply this to. We'll click on add, and in this case, we're just going to put it on our default domain users. So okay, we're happy with that. So okay to that. Yes, we have the default one the new one that's been created sitting over here. We'll create ourselves a new one. And this one we'll do for the domain admins. Make a slight change from the actual precedence perspective. And we'll also change the length to be a bit more intricate, a nice 14 password length perspective. We'll click on add. We'll work with the domain admins. And we will say okay to that. Just do a quick refresh. Oh, it's immediate. There it is. You see it available for us to work with and use. If we move back to the beginning now again, back to our search, onto our administrator, click on view results and password settings, and you can see immediately this has changed. We now have that one that was created for the domain admins with the relevant precedence, with the actual password length available for us to work with and to use from an application perspective of more complexity associated to this particular group of users. Very simple example from a password perspective. Now, ideally, again, in a large environment, you might have multiple password setting containers that are available. Actual setting requirements that are set out within this container. Ideally, you would have worked from a planning perspective and associated the relevant groups, understood the complexity, and understood the relevant requirements that would be needed, and added those components into this setting and then applied it out into your environment. So that kind of gives us a quick look and feel around ADAC itself from a simple understanding of how you would use this from a day-to-day perspective. Now, ideally, this is using the GUI, and we can work with the basic components, we can work with the basic configuration, settings, etc. Ideally, now we want to see what the benefits are of PowerShell supporting this and slowly move from an example perspective in using PowerShell from a history perspective into our next module, which will give us a deeper detail and deeper view into exactly what's been happening from in the background and the underlying side of PowerShell doing all the components and work for us. So working with the PowerShell history will give us a bit of a view of what has been happening in from an administration perspective, either from different users or the whole environment of who's actually been actioning components from ADAC itself. In the bottom of ADAC, you'll see there's a Windows PowerShell history right at the bottom. And moving across to the right, you can actually open it up and expand that component. So by default, it's minimized. You can bring it up, and we'll just give ourselves a little bit more retail space over here. Now we start to get a look and feel and view of what's been happening in our environment from a user perspective using ADAC. If we do a bit of a scroll through here, we start to get a view of all the components that have been worked with, whether it be someone's created a new OU, in this case, the sales one. So we worked with that a little bit earlier. In the demonstration, we created a sales OU, whether it be from moving objects. Remember, I created Jessica, and I moved her across to the sales OU. So all of a sudden, I'm starting to get a view of work and actions that have been done here in my environment. This will also assist not only see what's been happening, but if actions have been carried out that have had a detrimental effect to a particular component within our Active Directory domain services. So we can start to understand what, who, and how components have been worked with. And we can expand each of those components and start to get a view of what was configured and what was used in that particular command that was run. So now we'll work with this a little bit and understand exactly how can I use the PowerShell history to possibly allow me to build out processes to automate certain standards and certain configurations on a more repeatable process. So what we'll do now is we'll actually work with these little buttons over here around starting a task and ending a task and start to carry out some actions and see exactly what has been worked on. So let's click on Start Task. Okay, well first, Start Task. And this task we'll just call Create OU. We'll then move up into our Contoso environment, drill down to our Managed Objects, and click on Create a New Organizational Unit. And we'll just create ourselves a little template one that we can repeatedly use. We'll change this to be South Africa from a region perspective. And we'll say OK to that. We'll look at the properties of that template. Simple look and feel, South Africa. Simple naming standards from a usage perspective. I'll move back down to my PowerShell history component. Click on End Task. And now I have the step put out that we've just done and used. So we've created a template. We've given it the objects of being South Africa with the relevant country code, and where we've actually stored it from a managed objects perspective, and the fact that we've changed it to not be protected from accidental deletion. So I can select that component over here. I'll now open up PowerShell, and we'll work with ISE in this case. Look at the scripts pane. Let's give ourselves a little more retail space over here. Move back. We'll actually copy this component now. We will now change these components, where it says underscore template to be South Africa. We could have done a bit of a find and replace as required as well to give us that view of the look and feel of how that would be used in the particular environment. We'll run that component now. Happy, it's kicked off at the bottom. And ideally now if we go back, we should have a view from a refresh perspective. We now have a new OU called South Africa that's available for us to actually use and work with. Now the default settings will continue to be used and pushed out. Because we've built that template that we can work with, we can now manipulate and understand those different components and use them as we see fit. If we do that again now, we make a change for more a component we often use a little bit more. We'll clear that piece over there. We'll start ourselves a new task, and we will call it Create User this time. We'll move back to Manage Objects again. And we can work with creating a new user. Just click back into that. And we will just call this whoever. Again, we'll put him down into that Sales Africa department. And we'll start to manipulate those components a little bit later, giving him his actual location settings. So OK. And you'll notice that we have a much more in-depth script that's been taken away as an example. We can say End Task. And then we can select the components we want outside of this and start to work with those from a deployment perspective. Now all of a sudden I have a standard look and feel that could possibly be used from a user perspective to add and manipulate pieces out into the actual environment itself. So that's a slight view to understand from a PowerShell perspective what has actually been firstly happening in my environment from a history perspective, and then how can I start to manipulate the actual GUI to give me the relevant commandlets that I might want to automate and run from a complexity perspective out on multiple users, multiple OUs, or multiple actions that I might want to use in my environment. So that kind of gives us a view of one or two of the new enhancements within actually the ADAC environment. It's become a much more rich user interface. We'll get a view now as we move back to the slides that from a module perspective, we have understood that we've made some changes to ADAC, but more of a richer user interface. We can work with components of like having the ability for a recycle bin, give us in-depth protection around mistakes or errors that might occur of people manipulating Active Directory incorrectly, as well as the ability to start to automate the view around PowerShell. And this really is the intro to PowerShell with Active Directory. So how can I use common tasks that are completed regularly? How can I start to get the benefits out of PowerShell history to allow me to manipulate and possibly create random either templates or regular templates rather, or allow me to create repeatable usage scripts that I can push out into my environment to again ensure there's consistency as I roll out new users, new objects, whatever those components might be within my Active Directory environment. So that brings us to the end of Module 2. This gives us a view now of slight enhancements that have come into ADAC itself. We'll now use that PowerShell history as a leverage point into the next module, and we'll start to drill down a little bit deeper into the view of how PowerShell can assist from a day-to-day administration perspective for IT professionals who have to look after Active Directory.